This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, so we're going to do something a little bit different this year than we've done in previous years. We're going to try to lift the veil a little bit and show you what goes into coloring games. I think there's some misconceptions about what kind of work goes into it. So I brought Chris. Chris doesn't like planes. So, you know, everybody thank Chris for coming to help with the demo. I figured you were also tired of listening to me. So I just want to thank a few people really quickly. You know, this is a list of people who brought games for us this year and in previous years, Phoebe and Larry especially, for piling all the games into their trailers and bringing them every year to Expo. Some great games, and they've been supporting us a lot for the last few years. I also want to thank our partners. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but we've been working with Pinball Refinery over the past year, and they've been integrating some of our displays into their games. And we should have a Walking Dead with an integrated color DMD in the Sigma mode. It's pretty cool. We'll show you that tomorrow in our booth. And also to Doug Hanselman from Speaker Light Kits. He's been supporting us by providing an interface between his kits and our display. And Paul Malatek, this is the first year that we've had a booth, and Paul from VirtuaPin was nice enough to help us out and put together some displays for our booth. We hope that we would have inventory to sell at Expo this year with the booth. Unfortunately, with Indiana Jones and some of the pre-orders, we've sold out. So we're still in the room. You can stop by and pick up displays if you pre-ordered them. If we should have new displays back in stock in about 3 weeks, early November. Planetary Pinball, I know, is still holding stock, and then some of our other distributors, Pinball Palace in the UK and Ministry of Pinball in the Netherlands. Quick company snapshot. So the company was formed in 2012, and it was based on work that I started doing back in 2009. Our first release was Attack from Mars. That was in April of 2012. Chris and I run the company essentially out of our homes in San Clemente and Southern California. And the goal of Color DMD is to produce and market enhanced display solutions. We have two basic categories. One, which is a set of game-specific displays for multicolor, and a more generic multi-platform display that's designed to be a lot more feature-rich than a conventional DMD display. If you bought any of our displays, you know it's an LCD screen. It's a little bit taller than a standard display, but we built a bracket that allows it to mount on the same post in both WPC and Stern games. It's low voltage as opposed to the high voltage DMDs. We've tried to make it as plug and play as possible given that we're using different connectors. And we've added USB support, which allowed us to do something really cool. So we're using the same controller board to do both the multicolor ROMs and the Sigma ROMs. And basically it ships with the Sigma ROM, and if you want to switch it over to multicolor, you just pop in a USB drive. It takes about 30 seconds to switch it. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about multicolor, but before I do that, I just wanted to give an update on what we're doing on the Sigma side. If you remember, we introduced Sigma in the middle of 2013. It was part of an open platform approach where we converted from building displays that are just game-specific locked to a specific game to an open platform where you can reprogram it and use it in any game that you have. Sigma was introduced as part of the standard shipping configuration for all displays that we were selling. So whether you buy a multicolor display or a single color display, it comes with the Sigma ROM. If you want to, you can switch it over to multicolor and back again. The big thing about Sigma is it adds custom colors and custom display effects. So I've shown a few on the slide here. There's the conventional dots. We added an upscaling mode where you can fill in the space between the dots. And then we have a scanline effect, too, that a lot of people are using for Twilight Zone, where they'll put their display in black and white and try to make it look like an old CRT. So the new things that changed since the last expo is we increased the number of static colors. So there's 97 different static colors that you can pick from just from the menus on our controller board. We also added support for DE and Sega, which are essentially White Star games, but operate slightly different from the Stern White Star. And we added PROC support after spending some time with the guys who designed the Matrix pin. And as a result of some of the work that we did there, we came up with another feature, which is this gamma selection that you'll find on your ROM if you're going through the menus. I want to just take a minute and explain what that does. And then also dynamic RGB color control, which is a new feature that we added earlier this year. Okay, so gamma selection. Gamma is similar to contrast in that it's a mapping of the linearity between the input pixel level versus the intensity that you perceive. So for most displays, like TVs and LCD TVs, and they're built for this gamma mapping that's 2.2. It's basically an exponential nonlinear relationship, which is mapped to the human visual system fairly well, so that as pixel strength increases, you get a fairly linear increase in the perceived intensity. So DMDs, unfortunately, don't work this way, the same way that most other conventional displays work. And as a result, if you try to rip a video or a JPEG and put it up on a DMD, for those that have tried, it's pretty hard to make it look good. And one of the main problems, other than the fact that it's quantized and low resolution, is that the brightness for the DMD levels are all pushed up a lot higher than they would appear on a regular display. And that forces the designers to try to rescale the MPEG videos or the JPEGs in such a way to get it to look more linear. But even if you do that, you know that you only have up to, say, 16 levels. For the PROC, for Stern, it's less than that. And so if you're at the minimum level, which is about 6%, you expect the intensity to come out about 6% of maximum. But on a DMD, it won't. It'll come out at like 30%. And there's nothing that you can do about that. It's built into the way the controller works. So one thing that we've been able to do with a color DMD that you can't do with a conventional display is we can either show it the way an LCD is supposed to show video and JPEGs, or we can do an artificial mapping to try to make it look like a DMD. And from the beginning of color DMD, we've actually been producing this higher curve because we wanted to make it look like a legacy display. But with the PROC stuff, we're able to add this extra dimension where you can get much better contrast on the low levels than you can with the regular DMD. So if you're doing anything with PROC and you're interested in this, come talk to me. Otherwise, even for the old Williams games, which have like levels at 1/3, 2/3, and 100%, you still get much better contrast because for the 1/3 level, you actually get it out at 1/3 instead of like 60% where it looks on a regular display. So that's something you can play with. The other new feature is the dynamic color option. So this is a controller like the ones that Doug sells with his speaker light kit. And what we did is found a way to repurpose the lamp in connector that's on most color DMD displays. And so essentially the same RGB controller that can control an LED string can now control our display. And we released a video, if I can get it to play here. So I'll just talk over this. Basically, you're going to see it pan up and you'll see Doug's speaker lights kit. It's in a color cycling mode, and so we just have the display slaved off the speaker lights so that everything in the back box is moving together. So, pretty simple change. But you can do some fun things with it. And so we've been working with the guys at Pinball Refinery who tried to take this a step further. They're doing totally interactive light kits that integrate the back box lights, the speaker lights, under cabinet lighting, and they've worked our display into that. So I can get it to play. I have just a really quick example of that too. Okay, so the normal default color when the RGB control isn't on is gold. So you can see it's normally gold, but whenever the speaker lights are kicking on, it'll change the color of the display as well. And then as it pans out, you can see the back box lighting going also, and then there's under cabinet lighting there too. And so I also went and talked to the guys doing Demo Man on Steroids and Matrix and told them about this new added feature, and they were able to work it in where it's actually being controlled by the CPU. So as the game is being played, they can change the color of the display in time with whatever's happening on the play field. And so in the Matrix, there's a scene where you're offered to take the red pill or the blue pill, and the screen will actually change while that sequence is happening. Also made this work for America's Most Haunted on the Pinhack platform, and I think Ben's played with it a little bit. We're hoping that that'll be released at some point in the future so that owners of America's Most Haunted can enjoy it. All right, so that's the single color. Now we're going to switch over to the multicolor side. So we just announced our 13th game, not Gilligan's Island. Sorry, Indiana Jones. A lot of people are asking why did we do that tease with Gilligan's Island. We've been playing games, I think, with a number of our announcements. But with Indiana Jones in particular, for the last set of titles, I think somewhere around the middle here, maybe around Monster Bash, we started getting cries for Indiana Jones. And they built up with some of the other releases. By the time we got to Doctor Who, it got downright nasty. So, you know, we wanted to have a little fun and torture you back, too. So we apologize to the Gilligan's Island fans that are still asking me when they're getting Gilligan's Island. The titles in yellow are the titles that we've released since the last expo, since I was here last time. So last time we announced Creature from the Black Lagoon, Ready for Halloween. And we've got five titles here, and I can guarantee that we'll do at least one more this year, and possibly another one or two before the end of the year. And that's largely in part to what we've been doing with our developer group. So we started the developer group basically after Expo last year. The goal was to open the door for the community to get involved and build up the library of supported titles. I know we've been asked on the news groups, like, why don't we just open it up and allow everyone to participate and do the coloring? And hopefully by the time Chris is done, you'll get a little bit better understanding of why we don't think that would be a very successful model. There's still a lot of support required by the two of us in order to help get these games complete. But the model that we have instead is one that's designed to try to reward developers who want to help build out the library. It is to protect our IP that we've spent many years in building and improving upon, and also to maintain the quality that I think people are expecting now from the Color DMD product. So we don't want confusion by having multiple titles out there and they all are different and you don't know exactly what you're downloading. So this is a system we picked. All work is done under independent contractor agreements. So if you want to work on a title, we basically will send you an agreement that specifies what the developer gets, what Color DMD gets at the end. And if we can reach an agreement, then we'll provide the tools, training to use them, and support. Lots and lots and lots of support in order to get these titles done. If you want to get involved after you've seen the presentation, you can contact us. I'll send you a copy of our developer pack. Basically, what it asks you to do is propose a title. You know, don't just say, hey, this looks cool, I want to do something, but come with a proposal for a title that we haven't done yet. Give us some background info. Really what we're looking for is a good blend of technical skills and artistic skills, but it's not programming. It's more problem solving, as you should see through the rest of the presentation. We evaluate everything based on individual qualifications. If we don't answer you right away, it's not because we don't like you, or if we say not right now because we're too busy, you know, usually the answer is maybe a little bit later when our workload drops off. Once the agreement's completed, though, we'll provide the tools, we'll provide access to our private developer forum, and there's lots of tutorials there in place, and you can interact with other developers and ask questions. Okay, so the title of the talk is Multicolor Demystified, and part of the reason that we're trying to demystify things and open things up is that the patent that I had filed 3 years ago on the technology actually was issued earlier this year, so a little more comfortable in being open. Before we talk about how it works, let's talk a little bit about how it doesn't work. So, you know, I think there's a conception by some people that what we do is dump the ROM and just start coloring frames, and once it's all done, we put it back together again and somehow ship it out. We don't actually do anything with the original ROMs. We don't open them, we don't dump them, we don't browse them. They're not particularly useful for the work that we do because our display operates at the interface from the game to the standard DMD. And so there's lots of bits and pieces in the ROM that get assembled into the full final image. And for us to be able to do what we do, we really need to see the complete image. So If there's an explosion happening on the screen, the fact that it's made up by a bunch of different little sprite animations put together doesn't really help us. We need to see the flow. We need to see where these objects are. Also, the images that are in the ROM, they may lack context. So if there's a letter G in the ROM, you know, maybe it's a G for game over that you want to color red. But if that G is used in some other word, then maybe you want it a different color. So just knowing what's in the ROM and applying one set of coloring to it doesn't really work. So we don't look at the ROMs. We don't modify or distribute any of the original game data. So you can't open anything that's on the color DMD and find an image that looks like what's in the original game. What we do is try to build compatible color images that go with the original game data, and that'll be pretty clear in the example I'm about to show. And then we don't substitute color graphics for monochrome graphics or anything else like that. Everything is basically done on the fly. Okay, so there's our controller board again. The operations that are being handled by the controller board, it's basically three main operations. There's a frame identifier, there's a frame processor, and there's a video interface. Okay? The frame identifier is really trying to figure out what frame the game is sending at any point in time. Once we can do that, there's a lot of other things that we can do with the processing. We could retheme a game, right? We could make it, instead of Attack from Mars, Attack from My Little Pony or something. We could substitute in high-resolution video clips. There's a lot of different things that we can do once you know what you're trying to substitute. Right now, we don't do any of that. I don't know if we will, but our current frame processing is really designed to preserve all of the original DMD data and just add the color information to it. And then finally, there's the video interface, because we're not talking to the regular DMD. We have to talk to an LCD screen. So we have to do some reformatting of the data. So here's a quick example. Let's say you're playing Monster Bash and Creature is stage diving into a mosh pit, right? So the game is really sending this black and white image. I know for everyone it looks orange or red or whatever color your LED display is. But it's a four-level image, and there's medium brightness levels and high brightness levels. And it's actually slightly more complicated in how the game sends data, because it's sending this sequence of frames that only when summed together end up producing the actual frame that you're interested in. So the good news is that as a developer, you don't really have to worry about this. It's handled by the hardware engine. It's handled by the coloring tool. But what you do have to do is first find a way to recognize this frame. And so that's sort of like creating a phone number for the frame. And so you could do some type of mathematical operation, which we handle, in order to create an index in the directory. Then what we'll do is, offline, we'll come up with some complementary colors that go with the original image. And you can see there's nothing really in here that you could tell would ever look like, you could ever tell what the original image was. This is the information that we store. Okay, and then in real time, the game sends this, we add this, and this is the image that gets sent to the display. So there's three basic operations to doing this. The first is that somehow you've got to capture all the video frames from the game. So that's 90%. Unfortunately, that's only about half the effort, though, right? Because the last 10% takes at least as much time as the first 90%. And that's the area that Chris and I spend all of our time on, trying to finish games and work with the current developers to try to finish games. So, you know, these are to deal with things like random animation, like video modes, where you can't predict ahead of time where the spaceship is going to be, because it's different every time you play the game. Things like video effects, scrolls, wipes, dissolves, always give us headaches, and we have to try to come up with clever ways to get through that. And then things like text on graphics, right? So I described before, well, if there's a score here, maybe we just block it out with a rectangle. But if you have that score sitting on top of a background like you have in Doctor Who, that can get really complicated. And we spent an enormous amount of time working with Mark Yarshibiak did Doctor Who, I should mention. Did a great job on it. But we spent a lot of time going through and trying to nail it down, because there's that swirling Doctor Who animation that comes up all the time. Right? So that's basically the CAM presentation. Chris is going to spend some time going through what he does when he's working on games. And then we'll get Jaden back up here so you guys can either applaud or boo Jaden. Okay, thanks.
Hello, I'm Chris Enright, Randy Perlow's partner at Color DMD. I'm going to give you guys a really abbreviated coloring demonstration based with starting off with some basics and then finishing up with some more advanced coloring techniques. I've been responsible for colorizing the majority of the Color DMD games currently available. I started coloring Medieval Madness back in 2011, and once I finished Medieval, I went on to do most, if not all, the coloring labor on Addams Family, Star Trek Next Generation, Scared Stiff, Monster Bash, Theater of Magic, Tales of Arabian Nights, Fish Tales, and our latest release, Indiana Jones. So I also had a hand in coloring about half of Whitewater. Randy did the other half. And I helped finish up Creature from the Black Lagoon. And I even went back and reworked the video mode in Attack from Mars about 16 months after we initially released it. So I've had a big part in coloring most of the games we've released so far. When gearing up to start colorizing a game, the first thing I like to do is compile a bunch of capture files. So long story short, we basically use the Color DMD like a VCR. And when I do that, I like to do it with the glass off. It lets me shoot every shot over and over and over again to try to exploit all the possible animations that the game can possibly generate. And then I study all the various animations in the capture files and strategize exactly how we're going to use our tools to get the coloring job done. After generating the capture files, but before I actually do any of the coloring, I also like to take a look at it, the existing artwork and color schemes on the cabinet, the play field, the plastics, Translight, flyers, key fobs, anything I can get my hand on. It's amazing how I'll find like a little spot, that like a 1-inch by 2-inch area hidden underneath a ramp on the play field that contains like one little piece of artwork that also appears on the Color DMD. And it's a great way to start developing color palettes and also to help you make coloring decisions on what colors to use for the items that appear on the DMD. We always try our hardest to make the final product look like it should have been there since day one. So to do the job, we use Dots, which is a proprietary piece of software written by Randy. And it's really the main workhorse for colorizing the games to use with the Color DMD. So I'm really excited to show you guys this today. It's the first time we've ever shown it in public, and there's maybe 10 or 15 people that have really ever even seen it in action before, and that probably includes my wife and kids because they see me working on it all night, every night. So let's get down to it. This was the final product here. As you can see, the problem was is we don't know what if it's a one-player game, two-player game, three-player game, four-player game. And when when it's a one-player game, the score is huge in the middle, and it's got a giant gradient. And if for the multiplayer game, the small scores have to have the three-color gradient too, but it's a shorter gradient than the active player score. He's got a big score over here, so I can thumb through it a little bit. You can see how it's working there. If I show the mask, you can actually tell where it's searching, what it's finding, and the area that it's painting. So you can see that all happening there. So the next time you guys go and play the Indiana Jones game with the Color DMD, take a look at the score screen and you'll have a little bit more insight on exactly how we got the three color gradient to work for the scores. So that concludes my demonstration. I'm going to give it back to Randy here.
Thanks, Chris. Why don't we get Jaden up first and see what we've got, and then we'll take some Q&A. I asked on the news group for questions, so if you guys run out of questions, I think we have too many to answer. But we'll do the best we can. Does anybody know what that is? Lord of the Rings. So this is our first Stern game. You know, you guys have been asking for Stern for a long time. I think four or five of the questions on the news group are, when are you going to do Stern? So we did a lot of improvements on the engine this year. It not only supports White Star games like Lord of the Rings, it also supports the SAM games. So hopefully in the coming year, we'll get to do a lot more of the Stern titles. And just want to thank the guys at Stern. They've been in the loop with what we're doing and been really supportive, so we appreciate that. The Lord of the Rings. Oh, and we brought it with us. So we have two games, two Lord of the Rings games here at Expo. Jaden's game, which is in the exhibit hall, and then we have another Lord of the Rings that Larry Scott brought in the gamers hall. So look for the big golem eyes and you'll find the games, and we hope you enjoy it. So that's that. Okay. Any questions in the room? All right, let's see what the news group asked. What, if any, are the specific reasons TZ has not been offered as a color DMD title yet? Are there technical reasons or personal reasons, like you don't want to do it? Actually, Chris owns a Twilight Zone, and that was one of the first games that he wanted to do. But Twilight Zone has a lot of video effects, a lot of side-scrolling. There's animations where the rocket ship is superimposed over whatever screen you were seeing, and it actually blasts off across it. And when we started, we just didn't have the tools to deal with that stuff. And we said, all right, well, this is a really hard title, so we'll just set it aside, and we'll come back to it when we think we can do it justice. And we've made a lot of improvements over the past 2.5 years, so, and we've covered all the other top Williams titles. So we will be taking another look at Twilight Zone, and if we feel like we can deliver something that is worthy of some of the past titles, then we'll do that. Before I started, I contacted Rick at Planetary and showed him what we were doing and asked for his thoughts. He was supportive. He worked with Williams, and Williams was supportive. So we haven't really had issues in the past. And then, a year ago at Expo, I was talking to the Spring guys, and they were also equally supportive. So it hasn't really been an issue. There's no manufacturer data that we distribute on our ROMs, right? So it's all just this complementary color, these blocks of color that you see. That's what goes out on the board. So it hasn't really been a problem so far. Another question? Yeah? So I actually, the question is, has there been any thoughts of supporting virtual things? So I actually have a little bit of payment experience. I've worked with those guys in the past. And very early on, we had a version of the software that was working, an earlier version that was working with Visual Pinball. If we can find a way to distribute that without, just where we can still protect the IP, then I'd be interested in doing that. Yeah, so the question is, are we going to support the Medieval Madness remake? I would love to do it. We're not involved with that project right now, so we're standing by like you are to see what they release. I know that they had discussed possibly doing something on their own with the colorization, so I don't know where that stands, but we'd love to support it if we can. So we're waiting for that to be released too. Any other questions in the room? All right, let me see what else I have. Have you considered making a do-it-yourself development kit available? It would be something that color DMD owners with the computer and electronic skills could put together based on off-the-shelf electronics or a Raspberry Pi or microcontroller, and it goes on. I don't really have any interest in releasing something for an open processor. There's a lot of parallel processing that's happening in that FPGA that a general-purpose processor really can't do. It can't keep up with everything that we've done. And we're really pushing the envelope. That I think we're using something like 97 or 98% of the processing resources within that chip right now. So it's not something that a general purpose processor can do. If you have a color DMD controller board because you bought a color DMD and you want to get involved as a developer, then we can make that happen. So, but it's really, our time is limited too, and we're trying to make the best use of our time, not only in doing our own titles, but supporting the development community. So, there needs to be some level of commitment that we go through and just make sure that it's a project that's going to get to completion. Any other questions in the room? All right. Is there any progress toward coloring Circus Voltaire, or is that not even on the table because of DMD size and space limitations? I think it's unlikely that we're going to see LCDs in the right form factor. I know that there's been some LED displays that have come out. I think they're very expensive still, and I'm not sure that they're quite the right dimension, but if we can find a display that will work, the same basic controller can interface to that. Obviously, we have to change the video interface at the output, but one more question, Steve.
Yeah, I don't know if I've looked at more animations than anybody, but I've looked at them very closely in very slow motion, probably more than anybody. The most unexpected, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oof. I don't know. There's just some Easter eggs, you know, that are in some of the games that I didn't know about before I started coloring the games. Cows hidden here and there, you know. But I guess probably the most unexpected one that I did not know about that I found as a result of researching it, because I didn't find it on accident, right? I had to look up the Easter eggs for the game, is the Pong type game in Star Trek Next Generation.
Breakout,
yeah. That was pretty shocking to find that, and we had to implement the sprite mode on that too, because it's totally random and unexpected, because it's controlled by the user, you know, with the flippers, where you're actually playing Breakout on the DMD. The ball comes down and there's bricks at the top, and you use your paddle at the bottom to break through the bricks, and that's on Star Trek Next Generation. You have to press a bunch of secret code buttons when you start the game, and then do a few things and get to the right mode to get it. But it's online if you guys want to look it up and try it for yourself. And I actually colored that as well on the color DMD, so it colors the ball that's moving around. The bricks are a different color, and your paddle's a different color, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, so with that, we'll wrap it up. We do have a booth in the exhibit hall, so if you think of any more questions, please stop by. We'd be happy to answer them. And for the people in the news group, sorry we didn't get to all of them, but I will log into Pinside at some point and try to answer the questions that we couldn't get to. So thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.